Let's turn in our Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 28, and I'm going to start reading at verse 3 as we look at the life of Saul and David. Many years ago, there was a very popular television show, really a sitcom, called Bewitched. That would have been a good title for this sermon. And I'm sure that people looking at that TV show came to several conclusions. Witches don't exist. This is all good fun. Or they might possibly take it seriously. When we come to the Bible, it does take witchcraft very seriously. And we're going to look at a passage that in some sense is hard to deal with for our modern audience. But God has a purpose in it that we want to take very seriously this morning. So let's begin at verse 3 and look at what Saul is up to. Now Samuel was dead, and all Israel had mourned for him and buried him in his own town of Ramah. Saul had expelled the mediums and spiritualists from the land. The Philistines assembled and came up and set up camp at Shunem, while Saul gathered all Israel and set up camp at Gilboa. And when Saul saw the Philistine army, he was afraid. Terror filled his heart. He inquired of the Lord, but the Lord did not answer him by dreams or Urim or prophets. And Saul then said to his attendants, "Find me a woman who is a medium so I may go and inquire of her." "There is one in Endor," they said. So Saul disguised himself, putting on other clothes, and at night he and two men went to the woman. "Consult the spirit for me," he said, "and bring up for me the one I name." Then the woman said to him, "Surely you know that Saul is done. He has cut off the mediums and spiritualists from the land. Why have you set a trap for my life to bring about my death?" Saul swore to her, "By the Lord, as surely as the Lord lives, you will not be punished for this." The woman asked, "Whom shall I bring up for you?" "Bring up Samuel," he said. Then the woman saw Samuel. She cried out at the top of her voice and said to Saul, "Why have you deceived me? You're Saul." The king said to her, "Don't be afraid. What do you see?" The woman said, "I see a ghostly figure coming up out of the earth." "What does he look like?" he asked. "An old man wearing a robe is coming up," she said. And Saul knew it was Samuel. And he bowed down, prostrated himself with his face to the ground. Samuel said to Saul, "Why have you disturbed me by bringing me up?" "I'm in great distress," Saul said. "The Philistines are fighting against me. God has departed from me. He no longer answers me either by the prophets or by dreams. So I have called on you to tell me what to do." Samuel said, "Why do you consult me now that the Lord has departed from you and become your enemy? The Lord has done what he predicted through me. The Lord has torn the kingdom out of your hands and given it to one of your neighbors, to David, because you did not obey the Lord or carry out his fierce wrath against the Amalekites. The Lord has done this to you today. The Lord will deliver both Israel and you into the hands of the Philistines. And tomorrow you and your sons will be with me. The Lord will also give the army of Israel into the hands of the Philistines." Immediately, Saul fell full length on the ground, filled with fear because of Samuel's words. His strength was gone, for he had eaten nothing all that day and all that night. And when the woman came to Saul and saw that he was greatly shaken, she said, "Look, your servant has obeyed you. I took my life in my hands and did what you told me to do. Now please listen to your servant and let me give you some food so you may eat and have the strength to go on your way." He refused and said, "I will not eat." But his men joined the woman in urging him, and he listened to them. He got up from the ground and sat on the couch. The woman had a fattened calf at the house, which she butchered at once. She took some flour, kneaded it, baked bread without yeast, and then she set it before Saul and his men, and they ate. That same night, they got up and left. Let's pray and ask God's blessing on this mysterious passage that we've just read. Our Heavenly Father, we ask now that you will help us to understand what is going on, in some ways to a passage that seems almost impossible for us to believe in. It sounds more like a fairy tale. Seems like something we'd see at a lousy movie or something like that. But this is your word, and it's true. And your people today are asking you, what should we do in the light of your word? I make this prayer in your name. Amen. This is a mysterious passage. Spooky, if you ask me. And if we had in the church calendar a holiday that was Halloween, and you had to read selected texts for Halloween, if it was a religious holiday, this would be one of them, along with Jesus dealing with the demoniac in a graveyard. And I've got to admit to you, it's hard to believe in this, but it really did happen. Things that are mysterious do take place even in our world. And what Saul did at this point is another example of why Saul should not be king. He has hit rock bottom. And in the next chapter, Saul dies due to the fact that he disobeyed God and God had abandoned him. This is the low point for Saul. And here we have this rather scary incident that he goes through. And the Holy Spirit, I believe, is trying to teach us something this morning. He is trying to tell us, do not become involved in a magical approach to Christianity. Don't think that way. It's wrong. And part of the reason it's wrong is based off of this passage, but others that I'll bring up a little bit later. That is not what you are to be doing. Now you may be saying to me, "Oh, that's not true. Nobody in this modern world believes that." Sure about that? Do you realize that in the United States, people spend $2.3 billion a year on the psychic industry? Do you also realize that in the United States, people spend $1.2 billion on tarot cards and astrological services? Now, I don't know if it's still here because I haven't noticed it, but you used to go up Navy Boulevard, and what was there? There was a card reader, an astrologer of some sort, which I guess you could pay your money and you could go into. Palm reader, there you go. Well, somebody's going in there to keep that business alive. So do people do this? Yes, they do this. And if you look at the church in South America, it's basically at times a combination of Christianity and witchcraft. It is not pure Christianity in a lot of instances. So there is this problem in the world. And some of you may be saying this morning, well, what we need is a more Presbyterian form of sermon where I talk about the sovereignty of God, justification, sanctification. This is not worthy to talk about witchcraft, seances. And my response to that is, it's in the Bible. And all scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, correcting, rebuking, and training in righteousness. So yes, we need to take this seriously because it is a problem. It is a problem for the United States, a problem for some Christians who may say, well, a little horoscope reading never hurt anyone. I could go get a Ouija board, which, by the way, they used to sell in places like Walmart and Publix and other places. So yes, it's a problem. And what I want to do this morning is to convince you to stay away from that sort of thing. It's a sermon about persuasion. And I'm going to give you some reasons why you should not be involved in a magical approach to Christianity. And a very big reason is, it is against the word of God. It violates God's law. The Bible says, no, don't do that. Now, you may be tempted to think it's all right because, well, you look at Bewitched, for example. Seems to be rather benign. You may think that there's no problems using a Ouija board, looking at horoscopes. And in this modern world, nobody takes that seriously. During the final days of World War II, Joseph Goebbels got on the telephone to the Führerbunker as Germany was falling apart. And here's what he said to Hitler. He was ecstatic. Roosevelt had died. It is written in the stars that the last half of April will become a turning point for us. Did that happen? No. As one of the commentaries I was reading said, it all fell apart. It fell apart because it didn't happen. The Nazis often were involved in such activities like seances. And you say, well, that's Nazi Germany. Well, here's some people today who read the horoscope and believe it. Lady Gaga, Beyonce. And remember, it was Nancy Reagan who often consulted the horoscope. So yes, this thing can happen. And I imagine there's some good Christian people out there. You go to church, you're trying to get a message from the horoscope or some other type of means that is magical. But listen to what the Bible says. The Bible says it is wrong. And Judaism was one of the few religions in the ancient Near East who outlawed it. Other religions said, oh, it's fine to consult the dead. It's fine to have a seance. Not Judaism. Judaism says no. And if you go back into Leviticus, into the law of God, in Leviticus 19:31, it says, do not turn to mediums or seek out spiritists, for you will be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. Next chapter, it says, if you find someone who is that way, you are to kill them. They are to suffer capital punishment for that. And so that brings us to the story here with Saul. Now here's what Saul has got to face. First of all, Samuel is dead. Samuel had some influence over Saul, but he's gone. He's gone to be with God. Second, the Philistines are on the move. And it says that Saul looked out and saw the army of the Philistines, and he was in great fear for his life and for Israel. We also find out early on that Saul had cut off all of the astrologers and all the witches from within the land. But now the pressure is on. He has tried communicating with the God through the Urim and the Thummim and the prophets, but no answer. He's got to do something. So he says to his men, "Find me someone who can communicate with the dead." He broke his own law. Not only that, Endor, it's behind Philistine lines. And I can see Saul with probably a hood on. And he is sneaking behind enemy lines, eyes going to and fro in the night, coming to the house of a witch. And he has violated God's law. And you want to know why God is upset with Saul? There it is. Let's be clear. God doesn't want you to break his law by trying to communicate with him through miraculous, well, actually, miraculous is a lousy term for this, but a mysterious, magical way. He doesn't want that. Doesn't want that at all. And when might you be tempted to do that? When, like Saul, you are under a great deal of pressure and there doesn't seem to be any answers, and you may turn to those illegitimate ways. And it can be a very big problem for you looking for magical approaches and for the church. You're looking for a prop. And you can say, "But I don't do that." How many people have turned to the televangelist to get the hanky anointed with olive oil from the Holy Land to get their prayers answered? How many? How many? Don't you see that's just another form of a magical approach to Christianity? God never said that. Or we can pay a lot of money and get some sort of token back, and we think, well, that's going to happen. Or more likely, if we say the magic prayer and someone will come up, you say these in the right way with the right words, you'll get your answer. You see what that is? It's a way to manipulate God. And it's wrong. It's not like I Dream a Genie, where you rub the magic lamp and all of a sudden the genie's going to grant you 3 wishes. That's not the way God works. But that's what Saul wants. No wonder God is his enemy now. So when you think about a reason why you don't want to turn to that magical approach to Christianity, it violates God's law in Leviticus. And when you look in the New Testament, what does it say? In Galatians chapter 5, a Christian is not one who messes with sorcery. And in the new heavens and the new earth, who is not allowed in? Sorcerers. The Bible takes it very literally. But that's not the only reason. Let me give you another reason why you should avoid it. You won't get the answer you want. You're not going to get it. Saul here has an encounter with Samuel. Now, there is some debate. Did he really have that encounter? But I think if you read this, yes, God condescended to allow the spirit of Samuel to make an appearance. And I want you to notice here, Samuel is not pleased about this. He says, "Why are you disturbing my rest? Because the godly go to be at peace with the Lord." So Samuel shows up. The woman is screaming because she knows Saul has tricked her. And what does Samuel say to Saul? Saul get a good news answer? No. That must have been why Saul chose this magical route, because he wanted good news, but Saul's not going to get good news. In fact, the only thing that Samuel tells him is old news. Saul, here's your problem. God is against you. Saul, by the way, you're not going to have this kingdom much longer. It's going to go to your neighbor David. The only new news is this. Saul, you're going to die tomorrow, and Israel's going to be defeated. You're going to be in the land of the dead. Is that good news? No, it's lousy news. Who would want to have that message? Terrible news. Is it helpful? No. And we think magic brings good news. It's not going to bring you good news. Oh, you can go to, I guess, a palm reader, and she's going to tell you you're going to run into a tall, dark, handsome stranger. Well, good grief. You can walk in the mall and run into a tall, dark, handsome stranger. Let's just say a psychic could tell me today, you're going to run into a tall, bald-headed person. Already happened. I saw Jim this morning. It's coincidence. It's random. Or it could be downright demonic. You don't know. But it's not going to be helpful. Never is. It's just a sham most of the time. Or if you do these things, you think God will bless you in some ways. And I've heard people tell me this. Oh, he's going to bless me with a Ferrari. Yeah, and then you're going to be blessed with having to pay the car dealer for that Ferrari if you're faithful to God. It's all a joke. It's not good news. And as a Christian church, here's what we've got to be in the business of promoting so people like you and others don't fall into this trap. God's word is sufficient for us. God tells us all that we need to know. And if we do have special problems, we turn to him through prayer. That's what we do. We stay away from magical approaches, mystical approaches that will do nothing for us. And we dismiss those feelings that the simple means of prayer and the word of God are useless. It is simply not true. That is part of the reason we had a Reformation, because God's word is true, and he does answer us. So yes, stay away from these magical approaches, because it goes against God's word, because it's not going to help you any. But keep in mind, there is a greater reason. It is what you are missing out on. And it is something that Saul doesn't have: a relationship with God. Now, you may feel sorry for Saul at this point. I mean, after all, look at all the pressure he's under. Look at what it's saying here. No answers. But we've seen even Saul, in his pressure-filled moments, seems to violate God's law. And Samuel tells Saul, God is against you because you did not do what I told you to do, not once, but it seems to be over and over in his life. Saul hasn't had a relationship, I think, with the Lord God. And here's why I say this. Because when we compare Saul with David, notice that David did a lot of terrible things too. He's adultery. He is an accessory to a murder. He did some bad things. Well, what's the difference? Because when David sinned, he said, I'm the man, and turn to God. Saul, he doesn't necessarily turn to God. He only turns to God to get him out of trouble, not because he sincerely wants a relationship with him. And you may be looking at this passage and you may be saying to yourself, God is going to do the same thing to me. He's going to cut me off. But listen to what Scripture says, those of you who have a true relationship with our God. What does he say in Hebrews? It says this, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? If you have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, he's not going to cut you off. He's not going to say, no, you will not get an answer from me. You are not the enemies of God. If you have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, you don't need magic because you've got something that's so much better. You've got Christ. You don't need magic. You don't need a TV preacher. You don't need a Ouija board. You don't need a horoscope. When you've got Christ, who is on your side and has made you his adopted children. Halloween, it just passed. Time of candy, spooky movies. But it should remind us of something. We have something that is much more desirable than cheap candy. We have the Lord. Lord to take care of us. And the most important thing is in this life is that we walk with him, knowing that he is our brother in heaven who is looking out for us, always listening to the prayers of his people. Not turning away. And we, in turn, should not turn to magical approaches which do absolutely nothing but violate God's law. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, help us to look into our hearts this morning and see if within us we have a desire for something that is inappropriate. Turning away to magical means of charms and spells, instead of seeing them as mere entertainment. Instead, help us to trust in you, seeing that turning away from you is a violation of your law. It gets us nowhere. And we forget that what is important in life is being in fellowship with you. I make this prayer in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.